The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. I had a multi-streaming setup with Rumble, but it doesn't work. Yesterday, everything went well. Yesterday, we were okay with YouTube only. Today, I tried to multi-stream on Rumble, and again, it crashes. And there is a technological issue here. This is something I cannot fix. So we're going to have to move to YouTube as long as I'm monetized on YouTube. And then maybe I'll do a Rumble show once in a while. But my suspicion is that the streaming world has evolved. And Streamlabs OBS, in the way it handles multi-streaming, both their central platform that does restreaming service and their Streamlabs OBS software, when you set them and when Rumble is in the list of multi-streams, Rumble hasn't probably updated their ways of receiving a stream, and it got different, and YouTube adjusted, but Rumble never adjusted. So my belief is that basically Rumble will mess up a multi-stream. We were seeing black screen. You guys were getting 20 seconds of black screen, and it was even messing up my YouTube transmission. So there's something wrong in the connection between Streamlabs and Rumble, and I would bet that it's something like Rumble being too old, not having refreshed their ways of processing. Yes, I received your $10 super chat, Adventure World 999. Thank you very much for the donation. He says, thoughts on hybrid vigor. I am white, but I am very attracted to the woman from the Amazon. I don't believe that you should outbreed outside of your race if it is for hybrid vigor. Don't do it for hybrid vigor. It's hybrid vigor is something that arguably would only apply to farmed species, because the species were over-farmed, they were over-selected, they have weird setups, they have weird balances of characteristics. And when you take when you take an over-farmed green pea and an over-farmed yellow pea or whatever, and you cross them together, you might find yourself with a cross that is of higher quality, because the defects of one are not in the other, and vice versa. But that's a result of over-selection to specific farming environments. There is no evidence that in natural population, something like hybrid vigor exists, or is the case on average. Very likely, what you get when you interbreed is, well, always at the average between the two, but if they weren't farmed, it's possible that the equilibrium of trade-off, in fact, gives you less strong offspring. All of this to say, hybrid vigor is not a proper argument to get into outer race mixing, interracial mixing. Though, the right argument to get into interracial mixing is that you have a preference, or you find yourself in a situation where the females of your race are rejecting you. So if that's the case, if you cannot get a girlfriend within your race, absolutely go out and fuck your Amazon woman or Asians or whatever. Yes, you should do this because it's your responsibility as a man. As a man, you are faced with a world of a funnel. You are faced with a bottleneck. The bottleneck is not under your control. It is under the control of the females of your race. And males always had the responsibility biologically. Beat soup, advice for fem cells, shut the fuck up. You do not use that word here on this show. There is no such thing as a fem cell, okay? Shut the fuck up. There is no such thing as a woman who doesn't have a boyfriend and who is willing to have one. There is no use of fem cell on this show because fem cells do not exist. I have a public offer for sperm. No fem cell in the world exists until you have applied to my public offer. That was a parenthesis. Going back to the subject of hybrid vigor. They piss me off, these women. When they say this kind of stuff, they piss me off. There's an open offer for sperm. There is no fem cell on the planet. As long as you do not apply properly with the proper forms to my public offer. So hybrid vigor is not the right reason. But as a male, biologically, males always have the responsibility to spread seeds to a further domain geographically than the females. Basically, natural selection makes it so that the females are just pre-programmed to stay in place and take whoever wins the local area. So if there's a war and the invader comes in, well, get fucked by the invader. If there's just locals, well, try to have sex with the top locals in their escalation of the social ladder. That is the strategy of women. The strategy of men is take what's available locally, but if there's nothing, go international. So absolutely, you have the responsibility as a male to not let the local female bottleneck you into non-reproduction. So that's why a lot of people are like, JF, isn't there a contradiction between your strong identity as a European white and the fact that you tell males to go breed outside of their race? No. Because as long as... And this actually touches the point of beet soup, okay? As long as you're not accepting the sperm of males, males are not bound to your female bottlenecking. Males are not, they don't have to kneel to the fact that you rejected them. As long as there's not a woman accepting every single white male as a husband and giving him 7 babies, I don't want to hear anyone who tells me that it's a betrayal of your race to go have sex with an Asian or an Amazon woman. No. The betrayal comes from the woman's side. They've rejected this guy. They've rejected Adventure World. They made it harder for him. They want to enslave him. Your work as a free agent, and that's what basically biological males are. You are the free agent of reproduction. You are the one who's not bound to the locality. You are the one who doesn't need his social network and his hospital and his health card. You go out there and you inseminate whatever accepts you. That is your responsibility. It's like corporate relationships. If you're a company and you're selling a product and Walmart starts mistreating you and they start saying, oh yeah, we're gonna buy your tomato sauce, but we're gonna, instead of buying it for $1.39 a pot, we're gonna buy it for 79 cents. Well, you mistreat me. I'm going to go see the competitor. I'm going to go see the other company. And eventually, if my tomato sauce is so good that people don't even want to go to Walmart because you don't have my tomato sauce, then you're the one paying the price. So to Adventure World, the answer is spread your tomato sauce in all of the Walmarts of all of the Amazon. Cat Lady Genocide says, glad the Three Witches spell all failed against you, JF. They're clearly not high enough level. Any thoughts on Bitcoin core versus nuts? I don't know. What is Bitcoin nuts? Bitcoin nuts. I didn't research this. I've seen the word around. Bitcoin node and wallet in one. Not only is it easy to use, but it also ensures Bitcoins you receive are both real Bitcoins and really received as yours. Okay, so basically it's a software package for end users to both run an independent Bitcoin node and the wallet. I say great. I say yes, absolutely. If they're trustable, I just Googled it, so I don't know anything about them. But if they are good and trustable, absolutely, great idea. It depends on your needs. I mean, if you're just transferring money from wallets, Bitcoin Core will do what you need. If you want more independence, I guess that Bitcoin Nuts is the way to go. If you want to also run a node, and I'm all for it. Bristopher says, how would you design a video game about the revolutionary phenotype? I mean, it could go various ways. If you really want the game to be biological, maybe kind of an evolutionary game, like Game of Life type evolutionary game, and maybe in that game, one of the directions is a phenotypic revolution. Like, you could have the idea that you're starting little farms and you're starting your base and all, and maybe the game is about killing the other base. But then you could have also the possibility of a phenotypic revolution where you don't control a single base anymore. You now have made a quantome, and a quantome is basically a recipe for bases. And now the scale of the game goes up. Now it's not your base against their base. It's your 10,000 bases against their 10,000 bases. And now you're in the phenotypic revolution. Now you're into... And you could mix a strategy game with a Game of Life type of evolutionary dynamic. I guess it's probably where it could go. Another possibility to make a game around the revolutionary phenotype is just make a human game of character playing, maybe RPG style, but in the context of a phenotypic revolution. So maybe you go Final Fantasy direction, but just part of the narrative and the script of the history is that you're in a phenotypic revolution. You can play the character on the side of humans or the character on the side of the gene modded, that kind of stuff. Will Buys Bitcoin says, I saw a video by Malcolm and Simon Collins on Toxoplasma gandhi infections being linked to gay, cuckolding, and other non-reproductive behaviors. Have you investigated this? I've seen this claim come back again and again. I've not seen the Malcolm and Simon video about this. But across the years, I've seen these claims come back all the time. And honestly, they are not compelling. I have not seen any convincing case or evidence that a theory of homosexuality or anything else really based on infections is realistic. Evolutionarily, it's not super powerful, these explanations. I get it that it's super easy to see the power of these explanations when you see the special case of the parasites of ants that literally drives the ant to expose herself on a blade of grass so that she can spread the parasite even further. That's kind of easy. But to claim that in the modern world, the rates of homosexuality are caused by a parasite, it's like... There's so much missing in the explanation. How is the parasite controlling the brain? Why is the brain letting itself be controlled by a parasite? because it's easy when it's literally a worm growing into an ant, and literally the ant is slowly losing her motor control of everything because that literally the worm is wiggling inside the ant. Now that's easy. But how is a human being being victimized by Toxoplasma gondii? Like, it's not easy, because when the parasite comes into the body, the body has all sorts of pre-evolved responses. And you would expect all pre-evolved responses to keep this parasite from having a negative effect. So it's the immune system, basically. Now, are you telling me that somehow in the 20th century, humans have been confronted with an absolutely new parasite that they hadn't evolved for? Are you telling me that there wasn't Toxoplasma gondii 100,000 years ago? Because if there was Toxoplasma gondii 100,000 years ago, we would have pre-evolved to end all not being gay in response to it. See, that's the problem of this whole hypothesis. It's like, I need more. I need, how is Toxoplasma gondii controlling the brain? You know, the hypothesis might be something along the lines of, well, it's in your intestine and you kind of have diarrhea and it releases a hormone that makes it into your brain and somehow guides your brain toward homosexual behavior. Okay. Now, why is your brain responding to a hormone by Toxoplasma gondii? I still don't have an answer from all these people saying, yes, it's the parasites, the parasite theory of homosexuality. Wait a minute. Why would your brain keep responding to this hormone by making you gay? We're down to the parasitic explanation of any behavior is never a ultimate evolutionary explanation. Either we are in a disbalanced evolutionary equilibrium that surprised our genes, and in 1,000 years from now, Toxoplasma gondii is not going to cause homosexuality. Or we are wrong, or they are wrong, because I'm not wrong, I don't believe in this. But they are wrong when they say the parasite explains the behavior. And really, the parasite may be a correlate of the behavior. I have no doubt that when you get into the gay lifestyle, maybe you're exposed to a different world with different parasites. But see, it's very important to think of things as, are they causal or are they just correlated? Ked's Dad says, Jeff, would you inseminate an Israeli honeypot? I just did. You have no choice. Inseminating the honeypot is the only way you can get something out of the relationship. At least you're going to have a half Israeli baby. Absolutely. Inseminate the honeypot. Now, I would like to announce that we are now enabled for channel subscriptions. So if you'd like to support my content production, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Or if you don't like YouTube subscriptions, I always have Subscribestar available, as well as Patreon. Sandra says, does cuckolding makes guys come harder? I mean, I guess for those people who are into the excitement of cuckoldry, I guess that they are more excited at it, and perhaps even the competitive nature stimulates sperm production, because I believe that cuckolding, or the idea of a woman having sex with multiple men either at the same time or being watched by one while she has with another, I believe it evokes a kind of primitive sexual drive, probably coming from our history of raping women as part of military invasions. Because what's a military invasion? It's a bunch of men, they're together, they do everything together. And so when they have killed the men of the other tribe, or the other group or whatever, they find a local population of women that they rape together. So I believe the spirit of male cooperation here, and okay, there's less females than the number of males that have invaded the place, because armies are, by their nature, they have to outnumber the other side. So I believe that perhaps some of the sexual excitement around cuckoldry comes from these times of collective raping of the woman, the other side, the other side's woman. All right, you guys have the weirdest questions. End of the line, Joel says, YouTube chat is so highly censored, even for ordinary non-controversial words. It's very annoying. This is their automated system. Well, I guess we'll have to learn to adjust. Jimmy Wales storms out of an interview, and this touches upon the history of Wikipedia, because Wikipedia was taken over by leftist bureaucrats. But before being taken over by leftist bureaucrats, Wikipedia was taken over by Jimmy Wales, and Jimmy Wales presented himself as kind of the founder of Wikipedia. But there's been Larry Sanger out there, the co-founder of Wikipedia, and for years he's been disagreeing. He's been disagreeing with the direction of Wikipedia, because Wikipedia used to be kind of subversive, an element of subversive internet culture that was revolutionary and that was going to kind of challenge the educational narrative that you need to go to a brick and mortar place to be educated. It was the collection of all human knowledge, and kind of and the current move with AI is kind of AI saying, oops, I stole all of your knowledge. Maybe you shouldn't have packed it into an easy to steal encyclopedia. Because how much of the intelligence of Grok is due ultimately to the fact that Wikipedia is a reliable source when it comes to hard science, mathematics, etc. So Wikipedia is getting raped, and I love it. I love it. And Jimmy Wales is cracking. He's crashing out. Look at this interview here. Just the suggestion that there's a problem with the history of Wikipedia makes him storm out.
All right, new episode of Young and Naive. I have a new guest. Who are you?
I'm Jimmy Wales, founder of Wikipedia.
You're the founder or co-founder? Because
I don't care. That's the dumbest question in the world.
Really?
Absolutely.
There seems to be a dispute.
There's no dispute. I don't care. So, yeah. So, say what you like. It doesn't matter.
Well, isn't that like when it comes to Wikipedia a problem? You know, what are the facts?
Yeah. Well, it's not a fact, it's an opinion. So you can have whatever opinion you like. It doesn't matter.
But for you, you're the founder.
Can I just say again? It doesn't.
So you feel like you're the founder. So in your mind, you're the founder. The host says this as he looks at the camera. Bro.
Matter? I've answered your question four times. You know what? I'm done. Thank you. Thanks.
What's going on?
It's stupid. Don't ask me stupid questions.
How is that stupid?
It's a stupid question.
It was the first question.
Yeah.
All right. We're done here. Shortest interview of Young and Naive. Bye.
Oh, bro. Rodita Sid identifies also as the founder of Wikipedia. Well, it's a matter of opinion. He just said it. It's not even a fact. I mean, it is a fact. It's a historical fact. Who participated to the creation of Wikipedia? Unbelievable. But you can see that Jimmy Wales is losing it. And you know, he could have been calm about all this and be honest about the creation. But no, Jimmy Wales does not want it acknowledged that he is not the unique leader of Wikipedia, and that ultimately Wikipedia wouldn't be the way it wouldn't be the way it is right now. It wouldn't have declined to that level if Jimmy Wales had shared power. And if the leftist bureaucrats could have had a balance internally against them. People like me were extremely excited about Wikipedia like 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I was excited. I was like, oh, this is powerful. But they took control of it and they made it so hard to do anything. Jeff, how do I become a Sigma male? A question in Super Chat. I always have to re-Google this definition of Sigma male. What is Sigma male definition? Because I think it's an invention of Vox Day. A Sigma male is often described as a lone wolf who is self-reliant, independent, and does not conform to traditional social hierarchy. They are seen as confident and capable, but prefer to operate outside of the typical alpha beta male dynamics. Well, I don't even know if it's a natural category. Because of course you always have the problem that too many alphas will collide, will bump head with each other. And so sometimes that's always been my approach. I'm ready to lead. Like even in teamwork, in homeworks, in second year of elementary school, there's a team of four people. I will always propose myself as the alpha and the director. And I will always also step back if someone else says, no, I want to be the leader. So that is my attitude. I think it's a natural attitude to, I don't think you are a Sigma male or you are an alpha male. I think that you can play those roles in various conditions. And if there's someone else wanting to be the alpha, then it's not like it matters. It's like the alpha comes with a trade-off. The alpha will get responsibility put on their shoulders. The alpha will have to deal with other alphas. So I'm always actually happy to leave the hits be taken by someone else. So I guess that's the approach you have to have with life, is if you want independence and lone wolf, well, you need survivability, you need a job, or you need some income, some wealth of some kind, and then you need to go away. That's how you become a Sigma, I guess. Bro, I published in the Revolutionary Phenotype, I published the instructions to destroy humanity, and they're doing it. They're on it. Sam Altman and husband found a startup to edit babies' genes. AI has been like invented within the last, in its current state and in its current iteration, AI has been invented in the last 3 years, and already they're veering it toward genetic editing. Sometimes I'm wondering if they read my book and they just said, let's do what JF says not to do. They're headed to it like a heat-seeking missile. They're focused. John Connor, watching you make friends with AI after all you did for us. It's always good to imagine John Connor on a parallel timeline, just seeing us... seeing us voluntarily giving everything to Skynet. This one might make you laugh if you are a father. Me, what does 6-7 mean? My 7-year-old, it doesn't mean anything, Papa. That is exactly what happened with my daughter. So I'm currently teaching my daughter numbers and sequences and addition and subtraction. So I'm like, six, what's after six? And my daughter, who is homeschooled, and she answers to me, Dad, it's 6-7. And I'm like, what? How did the 6-7 how did my daughter got exposed to the 6-7 meme? Somehow she watched a YouTube video or something with the 6-7 meme. Now it's a meaningless meme. Literally, the 6-7 meme doesn't mean anything. So it's just that kids of this generation, they love when they hear 6-7, they're like 6-7, and they make some end gesture of some sort. And it all starts from apparently this guy they call the 6-7 guy. It's a guy that had just a shirt with 6-7 on it, and in a TikTok video, he comes with his bike and he does some end gesture like 6-7. 6-7 Summer of Love, says GR Electric Guitar. So basically it's a meme that is contentless. This may be the first contentless meme. Apparently South Park did an episode on it, says Guitar Jam. There's these moments in parenting life that are so beautiful, and seeing your child come with something that you don't even know much about, and they're like it's part of their world. It's freaking amazing. It's the because at this moment you can see that they're gonna move on to they can handle the world, they can explore it, and they can learn from it without much supervision. An undercover journalist caught an assistant principal admitting that they've had boys play in girls' sport. But the principal says, ideally, no one hears about it.
I'm very lucky. Pronouns here, him or her.
Her. We have that adopted birth certificate is where we can just...
So she says, ideally, we don't tell anybody. The less people that know, I think the better. Not that I want to hide anything, but I don't want to draw undue attention. Okay, so this is going on across the public schools in America. People are dumping onto Megyn Kelly, especially the Zionist side. Mark Levin here. Shame on you, Megyn Kelly. You're in a dark place. I urge you to change course. And this is all... There's a controversy that they're trying to start around Megyn Kelly, but it's on such ridiculous basis that I don't think it's going to catch. Megyn Kelly made a comment about Jeff Epstein in light of the revelations around Jeff Epstein. And she said, you know, the classical distinction, we've been through this again and again. I think this happens almost every 2 years, where there's someone who makes the distinction between pedophile and hebephile or whatever. And people take issue with this. It's like, no, this distinction is important criminally. It's important because what people don't seem to know is that 16-year-old is the age of consent in many places. Like in Canada, you can have sex with a consenting 16-year-old. And people are massively confused around this. They think it's higher, or they want to punish men who do that, and Megyn Kelly was just seeking to make a factual distinction here. She was not saying Jeff Epstein is correct in wanting to have sex with 16-year-olds. He was just saying that is not technically pedophilia. So here's our statement.
For Epstein, I've said this before, but just as a reminder, I do know somebody very, very close to this case who is in a position to know virtually everything. Not everything, but virtually everything. And this person has told me from the start, years and years ago, that Jeffrey Epstein, in this person's view, was not a pedophile. This is this person's view, who was there for a lot of this, but that he was into the barely legal type. Mm-hmm. Like, he liked 15-year-old girls. Mm-hmm. And I realize this is disgusting. I'm definitely not trying to make an excuse for this. I'm just giving you facts.
I hate the social taboo around this, because as a scientist, I know very well that Jeff Epstein was not even an irregular man. When we present pictures in the lab and we ask average men, just come and we'll show you pictures. Men find the peak of beauty to be between 16 and 19 years old for women. And our law very often reflects this by making 16-year-old the age of consent for sex. Now, there are always special exceptions, and they will tell you, if you are in a position of authority, like if you're a teacher, for example, the girl cannot consent at 16 in Canada and in many places of the US. If you're a teacher, she would have to be 18 to consent. So what Megyn Kelly is describing as disgusting is actually the average male preference. And every male knows this. Like, I'm sorry, Megan and this woman, you ladies are very old. You are less attractive. And that process of becoming less attractive started around 19 years old. That is a truth. And they always try to clip you. I remember back in the days, they were trying to ruin my reputation. And some guy came on my Ask Me Anything and said, JF, what about the evolutionary history of having sex with young women? And it's like I gave an answer about evolution, and they tried to clip this, and they tried to make you look bad, which is exactly what Mark Levin is doing. Shame on you, Megan. You're in a dark place. I urge you to change course. What did Megan say here? First, she didn't even report her own state of belief. She reported the state of belief of someone who was close to Jeff Epstein. And secondly, even if that had to be her state of belief, even if that had been her state of belief, it would simply be the truth. Raised Fist says, Canada just changed the age of consent from 14 to 16 in the early 2000s. Yeah, and there are things that are bad about this, because I think it encourages women to pursue other things than reproduction early in their life. And, you know, by just changing it, I know that most of the cases you won't marry a woman at 14-year-old. So I don't think that this threshold matters that much. But just the fact that they can't consent, it pushes the age at which they start thinking in terms of husband mode, in terms of I need to make babies quick. And unfortunately, all of these raising of the age of consent, it's not that I want to have a 14-year-old girlfriend. I don't. But then it pushes to 16, the point where she even thinks about it. And then eventually, in some places, they'll push it to 18. So we are constantly pushing females away from shortening their evolutionary cycle length. Now, that matters a lot, because you can make two babies at 40 years old or two babies at 18 years old. And evolutionarily, it's a world of difference. Because if you make them at 18 years old, by the time the other girl has her babies at 40, you're going to be a grandma. So evolutionarily, you have multiplied by two your output, even if you still have just two babies. But these two babies, they each have their own child, their own children by 20 years. And so when you shorten the evolutionary cycle down to 18 years old, 20 years old, you outbreed the others, not even by the number of babies you produce, but by the number of grandchildren you produce in a shorter span of time. And this is going to matter a lot. It's going to matter a lot about what happens with Western civilization. And here we have actually another news on the subject. Elon Musk's dad says the US is doomed if white people become the minority. Absolutely. We'll have a total change of mores and ways of being, and politics will change if we don't have a dominating, and I would argue a patriarchal white population. And we won't have this. We won't win the breeding game as long as we teach our women not to reproduce early. Nationalist says a 15-year-old 100 years ago was more mature than 40-year-olds today. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess you can argue that there's the kind of childish mind of the woman that goes on forever in our modern world. I mean, they are dependent on the state up to their death. So it's like, yeah, they never quite become an adult. Anon says, Jeff, can you debunk mental age, please? I mean, it's a principle that is not used scientifically. So it's already dubious to be talking about this. If someone talks about mental age, you immediately know they're not a doctor of psychology. You know, mental age first comes with the assumption that there is such a thing as target development stages and that they are stable across individuals. To begin with, that is already a big jump because there is actually a diversity of lengths of development. And some people develop at different speed, and it's not even that they're suffering from a pathology of any kind. They just take more time to get to their point of development, and sometimes they will outcompete once they're there. Sometimes they get there better than others who develop faster. So the first thing to say about age, mental age, is there's not even a mental age on normal people. There's no such thing as being 4-year-old in mental age, not even for a 4-year-old. So to start using that dubious scale to rate other people and to say, oh, well, you are... Sometimes what we hear is women are of a higher mental age. You'll hear this in kind of liberal leftist circles, that women mature faster. And they mature faster. The facts that are invoked to make this case will often be that they have performance at school, they have less behavioral issues at school, they have better grades in verbal domains at school. And it's like, okay, well, that's just a measure of how much the school system is pre-designed for the woman mind. If you tell me that it's a behavioral problem, that guys are excited and they want to mess around, they want to make jokes, they sometimes don't care about the curriculum, and they're more active physically, and they're more competition seeking. It's just a sign that you've created such an environment that favors girls that you are now defining a measure of mental age, which is based which is based on the very assumptions of this measurement, of this this false scale and this false environment you created. The fact is, there are many axes of development on which you could measurably say men are developing faster than women. Spatial recognition. You know, my children that are boys, they've understood 3D space, 3D virtual space, literally 2 years before any of my daughters did. So yes, there is a male mind ready to understand concepts much faster than women, but we don't credit this at school. At school, it's how can you behave? How can you submit to what the professor tells you? How can you record all of the verbal facts that are spouted at you. So we don't even rate the things that would allow us to see that males actually develop faster on certain measures. You don't have a course in 3D virtual space and map orientation. Give that course and show me how the girls are doing at it. Show me how the girls are doing in manipulating Riemann spheres in virtual space. Good luck. Show me how the girls are doing in generating Riemann surfaces in programming language. Sean B. says, I've made the argument that most of the birth rate has decreased because of the age of consent raising and men not liking what is on the legal menu for them to marry. Oh, yeah. I mean, we were having this discussion with some of the audience members that are looking for a woman. It's like, can you imagine how easy your life would be as a husband to be training from scratch a naive, young, untainted woman that wasn't tainted by society, that wasn't spammed with feminist, Marxist propaganda? Can you imagine how easy your life would be if you can introduce a woman to family life and it's all she knows, and she doesn't have all of these Marxist forces pulling her away from it, saying, oh, be a career woman, be independent, oh, you can get a better guy than this. The social world is absolutely toxic to women. Sean B. says, I am so sick of the incels who do pred hunting only to catch a mid-age, somewhat year-old going after a 16-year-old. A 20-year-old going after a 16-year-old. Yeah, there's some of this predator catching that is misplaced. Because I think they just want content, and like going after a guy for interacting with a 16-year-old, especially if it's legal in your jurisdiction. It's sometimes they literally catch guys that it would have been legal. It would have been legal. And so they try. They try saying, oh, maybe I'm 15, maybe I'm 15 and a half. But it's like at this point you are playing at the limit of legality. And is it really the kind of predator you want to catch? I don't know. Very good bass. Very good bass playing here. Extremely interesting. Yeah, Texas is not the right place to be for families. I often say it. Texas, although it is technically a Republican state, their handling of family and child protective stuff is basically similar to a liberal state. I don't know what's the mechanism. I guess they have internal forces in their politics. But Texas just handed the state a weapon against parents. They called it parental rights, but the amendment forces you to nurture and protect without defining either term. That means bureaucrats and pro pharma liars can decide what those words mean. Refuse a vaccine and they can say you failed to protect. Homeschool your child and they can say you failed to nurture. Your constitutional rights as a parent can vanish with one courtroom interpretation. This amendment is not a shield for families. It is an open door for state power. Absolutely. The only places that I've seen not drift toward the bureaucratization of parenting by the state are the places where they specifically define in the law what are the things you don't want to cross. So in Alberta, they've handled it perfectly. In Alberta, you know what the law says? It says, as a parent, your responsibility, and this is where the state will intervene if you don't do this, Your responsibility is to provide all of the things that your child needs to survive. See, because this is so important, because this word, to survive. Now, if you go in another province of Canada, if you go in Quebec and PEI, they will say, well, you have to provide all of the needs of your children. And those needs include socialization. And those needs include an infinite array of things they might need, depending on what the bureaucrat decides. So if they need socialization, oh, they need to go to school. They need to go to public school. Oh, yes, well, homeschooling is legal technically, but they need socialization by this other law. So now we need to force you into public schools. And when you have words like this, nurture and protect. Nurture and protect can be used by a bureaucrat to mean basically anything. Of course, protect will never mean, like, become a racist or go live in a place with only whites to protect your children from crime or gang violence. No, that's not good protection. It's never going to be what the bureaucrat wants. But the bureaucrat might decide that nurturing means sending your child to public school, that protecting means giving a vaccine to your child. So it's very important. The difference between survival and nurture is the difference between a bureaucrat that has no power over your family and a bureaucrat that does. And it's very important that we abandon Texas, because this is not a Republican state. They don't behave like a Republican state. Will buys Bitcoin, says, Jeff, I'm having my first child in a few weeks. My wife doesn't want to COVID or flu vax, but is a normie on all the other newborn vaccinations. How can I convince her not to put this junk in our child? Well, I don't know that you'll convince her. If she's strongly a normie, you're going to have to deal with the fact that she has those preferences. I wouldn't try hard to convince her. What I find works best, and I've been introducing Mama JF at some point to the idea of giving birth at home, and it worked extremely well. And that is an example where at first she was reacting by saying, oh no, we need to go to the doctor, we need to go to the hospital. And what I said back then was, all right, if you think we have to go to the hospital, it's your decision, and ultimately it's you going to be doing the delivery. So no problem, we'll go to the hospital, but you should consider the fact that as a natural being, you don't need all those things of modernity. You've already evolved to handle all of this, and there's 7 million years of women before you who have given birth without a hospital, and there's about 20 years, and you can even draw it. You can draw it on a board. Like, let me pull out paint here. Okay, so let's make a history of female delivery of babies from 7 million years ago. That's 7 million years ago, and that's 2025. So that's the length over which humans have existed. From here, we were basically chimpanzee. And eventually, well, there was different evolutions toward Homo erectus, Homo Neanderthal. And about here, you could say that we were Homo sapiens. And perhaps somewhere in there, we became the differentiation that you see in today's world within the last 200,000 years. So I'm not doing at scale precisely here, but think of 200,000 years of space in which we roughly became whites and blacks and Asians. All of these females were giving birth with their husband on the ground without a single doctor present. This time, just dozens and dozens of generation for each pixel that you see. No doctor, no vaccines, no doctors. And then, right here, this is you, the current female. In fact, it's not even there. If we wanted to be very precise, it would be basically here at one pixel away from 2025. And in 1965, somehow females decided that they needed all sorts of machines to supervise them, vaccines to protect their babies. But you have 7 million years of evolution behind you that has made sure that this process was basically fail-proof. And it was going to happen, for sure. And that your baby will be born, for sure. And that the chances that anything bad happens to the baby or to you are extremely, extremely low. But sometime around 1965, a bunch of people started cashing in on that fact by scaring you, by telling you a false representation of the past in which females always died during delivery. And so this, I haven't even done that much of an explanation to Mama JF. What I told her is, look, if you want to go to the hospital, we'll go to the hospital. But if you want to look into it, look into home birth. I'm totally competent to give birth to our children. And they're beautiful. They're still growing as of today. And they're doing well. And I told her, you should consider this. And eventually, Mama JF went on her own, started listening to the Indie Birth podcast. And then she was coming back to me more radical than myself. She was like, wow, JF, I can't believe that the hospitals are doing all these things wrong. I'm now convinced I want to give birth at home. So that is the approach you should have with your wife. Because trying to force it on her or trying to put pressure on her might not be as efficient as letting her reach our own conclusions. But you just mention it and remain open to our decision in the end, but say, hey, you know what? The same graph, by the way, is valid for vaccines. 7 million years of parasites in the harshest of conditions attacking the human body during winters, during famines, during war, during... You literally lost your arm during a sword combat. During you literally got your entire feet bitten by a turtle. Here your ancestors have gone through so much more than you. And they never needed vaccine to survive. And there's a whole chain of being that succeeded at getting babies to you. To be your ancestors. And that they all lived. They all live. Not a single one needed a vaccine. Not a single one. Friend of Gandalf sends a super chat. Let's have a look.
School tests one's willingness to memorize pointless facts to please authority figures. Chess/sporting competitions measure one's spatial reasoning/problem-solving ability. We segregate boys and girls in these competitions to mask female incompetency.
We certainly do. And yeah, you can see that the school system has evolved away from competitive behavior. The school system has effectively made it so instead of measuring the inequality, it has flattened out the inequality by pathologizing it. Say, oh, well, the behavior of boys is wrong and we're going to have to fix it. And I mean, it's to the point where they're literally drugging children. They're drugging children for natural behavior. Pete Soup says, it's strange how many people have PCOS and endometriosis these days. I don't know. I haven't followed the number in specifically. Ty Rogerson says, many modern women are completely broken. They have PCOS or they got a hysterectomy or they have an IUD failure and are now infertile. Oh, yeah, this is scary. The fact that they, as a means of contraception, they implant these wires of copper literally into women uteruses so that the babies don't grab the side of the uterus. It's absolutely worrying. And we don't know what are the long-term consequences. They will tell you it's removable. It is removable, but with what kind of damage? User Tube says, JF, to what degree will the future of reproduction include gene editing and artificial wombs? I mean, to the degree that, yes, it will. that's the point of my book, The Revolutionary Phenotype, is that no matter what you tell people, they're going to do it. We can see it. They're going to do it. They're just going to do it. Another cancellation. Dasha Nekrasova has been fired by her talent agency, Gurch, following a podcast interview with Nick Fuentes. She has also been dropped from upcoming film Iconoclast. Unbelievable. The cancel culture continues. But you can see, so these people were all trapped. They were all trapped in a system of intimidation and leverage. And I'm going to make you a star, but only if you behave correctly. This is cancel culture in action. This is what's happening. And we've been fighting so hard for people to have the freedom of rising on the internet on their own terms. And we must never let the system of agency comes back. Because these agencies, they promote you, they make you a bigger star, but then they expect something from you, and you're not a free thinker. Beet Soup says, I had a friend with a copper IUD, and she wanted to have kids, but the doctor refused to take it out. She had to do it herself. It was rusty. Unbelievable. We had good doctors, so eventually, with some of my wives, we went to the doctor and they removed it. They knew that we were ready to have children. But yeah, I mean, it's at the, because when they use these IUDs, by the way, it's because they don't trust the woman to be taking her birth pills. And we're at the threshold of consent here. Because this is generally a doctor that has made the decision, this woman is not reliable enough to continue her birth pills. Therefore, I will give her something that she can't remove. This is what the IUD is. This is literally the recommendation in medicine class. Why would you give an IUD? We have the birth pill. Well, it's because there are women who are not intelligent enough, or they're too disorganized, or maybe they have schizophrenia, and we don't trust them to continue on with their birth pill. But then, when you do that as a doctor, you have decided for nature, you have decided for the woman's gene that they will not go on. You have decided, even if her instincts pushes her away from my stuff, I will do something that she can't undo. I will do something that will always be there. And that is, in my view, this is unethical. Rodita Sid says, I mean, let's face it, lots of low IQ people would be better off without reproducing. No, absolutely false, Rodita Sid. They would not be better off. You would be better off, maybe, but it is not your right to decide these people are too low IQ for me to injure them. And therefore, I will do something against their consent so that they don't reproduce. That is absolutely the wrong way to phrase it, the way you said it. They would not be better off for themselves. They would be better off with babies. No matter how low IQ they are, they would be better off with babies. You think you would be better off without them. And therefore, you are impeding on their reproductive rights. Beet Soup says, IUD are extremely common in second, third world countries. It's the first line of birth control over there. Unacceptable. 5,000 dead people getting SNAP. 500,000 getting benefits twice. The whole SNAP. Healthcare benefits. Food stamps. That is all stemming from a misplaced desire to help people. And it's wrecking society. Nick Fuentes has put his finger on it lately. He was commenting on artificial wombs, and he was commenting actually on sex robots. So sex robots are going to be awesome, but we have to make sure if we want the sex robots to have their full benefit, we need to cut female social welfare. Because you have all these politicians who are like, oh, single moms. We want to help single moms. But it's like, bro, 99% of single moms decided. Like, people have this image of a single mom. It's like, I lost my husband to war. My husband wanted to serve his country. And he sacrificed his life for our freedom. This is not the average single mom, okay? The average single mom is a psychiatrically deranged bigot who hates men so much she can't tolerate one in her place of living. Okay, that is 99% of single moms. Rodita Sid says, they can totally reproduce, I don't care. Just stop taking my taxes. As long as there is unconsensual taxation / extortion, and as long as they take my money, I'm fine with stopping them. Okay, well, that's an existential argument. I'm not totally against what you're saying. We have here, Michelle Obama is complaining that the standards of white beauty are crushing to her.
About it. Let me explain something to white people. Our hair comes out of our head naturally in a curly pattern. So when we're straightening it to follow your beauty standards, we are trapped by the straightness. That's why so many of us can't swim and we run away from the water. People won't go to the gym because we're trying to keep our hair straight for y'all. It is exhausting, and it's so expensive, and it takes up so much time. Braids are for y'all so we can work harder and focus on the work. So why do we need an act of law to tell white folks to get out of our hair? Don't tell me how to wear my hair. Don't wonder about it. Don't touch it. Just don't. It just.
So this is interesting because white people haven't asked black people to have straight hair. I am a representative of white people. We have never sent an official letter asking for this. So here you have some of the problems of a multiracial society highlighted by this. I think it's very important. I think we shouldn't just laugh and dismiss what she's saying. Because it's like standards are what makes Western civilization. We expect a lot of each other. We expect massive amounts of politeness. Like it's actually crushing, even to me. I'm white, but I'm kind of autistic, and you know, saying hi to every lady at the grocery store, it's tiring. And I'm not that much into it. I kind of hate it. And when I see people stop to each other at the grocery store and start talking for 30 minutes of politeness exchanges, I'm like, how do they do it? How do the normies do it? So I'm just like Michelle Obama on some standards. Not on the curly hair, because I'm a guy, no one cares. But I live the same oppression that Michelle Obama is living, but in another sphere, which is the social sphere. But it's like, it's very important that we don't undermine those standards, because those standards are what makes good living. Those standards are what lead white people to press each other toward excellence, to make a society where we can have trust in each other, to know that we're not going to get attacked when we walk to the local cheese shop. This is all extremely important. And as far as the beauty standard, they are important to shape the future of society, to shape the future females through sexual selection. They are an important, measure for social escalation in white society. And yes, a beautiful female will have all doors open to her. They will name her a CEO, even if she's incompetent, just because she's beautiful. But you have to make your own trade-offs here. This is what I would say to Michelle Obama. You don't have to subscribe to these standards. You can be less beautiful. But if you want to play the game of being beautiful and being desirable, then that game is a hard game. It's a game to which you have to dedicate your life. See, this is why I'm not super beautiful. This is why I'm not a gym guy. It's because I dedicated my life to something else. I'm an intellectual. I think of things mathematically, intellectually. That's my specialty. But for this, I had to sacrifice that I can't spend 3 to 4 hours in a gym every week because I do other things. I want to be successful on other measures. But for a woman to remain beautiful, she basically has to dedicate her life to beauty concerns, staying thin, not eating too much, having all these beauty processes on hair, nails, various things, and even having plastic surgery at some point in her life. That is the branch of excellence that you're trying to meet. It's not about white people imposing this on you. It's about the standards of the game. And if you don't want to play that game, you don't have to. But then you're going to have to endure being like a man, being undesirable, having to be interesting in some other way. In a way, the beauty path for women is the easy path. I don't have this. I cannot just succeed in life by being merely beautiful. I could have... Being beautiful for a guy is not even an option. It's not even an option. You won't escalate the social world. Maybe Hassan Piker, I heard that he started off as a model. So maybe Hassan Piker is a case that has escalated through the beauty line. But other than Hassan Piker, and he's not particularly beautiful, other than these cases where they make it into model-style careers, you simply do not have a choice to use your sex as a male for leverage. And so this is just one supplementary choice that you have, ladies. This is just one more option that we don't have. So don't complain about having this option. Tucker exposes Trump would-be assassin, Thomas Crook, social media history, the FBI cover-up, and more strangeness. So we are learning more about the social media of Thomas Crook, his search history. If you're saying Trump is a bad... Crook's right. If you're saying Trump is a bad president, you aren't a patriot, as Trump is the literal definition of patriotism. He wrote, Ilhan Omar and others are invaders and should honestly... So he wrote some violent stuff before. It appears that during the pandemic, he shifted into the headlines, Trump's stupidity. He then began to mock the idea of the deep state. In February 2020, Crooks called out Trump supporters as brainwashed and cult. So this was someone who may have been supporter of Donald Trump at some point, and then he veered and became more and more mocking of right-wing MAGA Trump supporters. So it's interesting to know. Very interesting to know. In a leaked email, the brother of Jeffrey Epstein, Mark Epstein, asks if Vladimir Putin has the photos of Trump blowing booba. Bubba, booba, bubba. Bill Clinton has been known as Bubba. So basically you have a discussion between Mark Epstein and Jeff Epstein. And Mark Epstein says, ask him if Putin has the photos of Trump blowing Bubba. What does that mean? Would Trump have had gay sex with Bill Clinton? Or does that mean simply that they had pictures of a dinner in which he was kind of begging something to Bill Clinton or being kind to him? Anon says, JF, should makeup be illegal? Because if an uglier woman with makeup can have an edge over a more beautiful one, then we are farming ugly woman. Ah, that's an interesting case. That is very interesting. I had never thought about it. But making makeup illegal would certainly, first, de-emphasize deception. Second, deception on the side of beauty and mate selection. So you would have true beauty be an important factor. But second, perhaps even more important, you wouldn't have the misuse of makeup and beauty in the professional domain. So basically, women are putting on makeup not even to find a mate. They're putting on makeup to be object of desirability to escalate the social and corporate world. And that is all deception-based, because when they escalate the corporate world, what they're doing basically is they're feeding off the hope in their boss that maybe they can have sex with him. And they are displaying lots of beauty, and it makes their life easier because they're more desirable. And so it's easier to get higher salary and escalation. You could decide that basically makeup is fraud. You could decide that makeup sends a false signal. It is a sexual signal in women that are not consenting for sex. Therefore, it's a deceptive advance. It makes men believe that sex is possible, or it makes men believe that these women are of a younger age than they truly are. And so I think it's a great idea. I think you could make makeup illegal. Of course, as a libertarian, I tend to think just let it go and there will be self-punishment. You know, companies that hire women just because they're beautiful, eventually they will self-punish because they won't be competent. But you could have the view that makeup is fraud. And if so, then it is subject to the same punishment as criminal fraud and civil defamation. Poca Pillup says, JF, have you ever seen the pictures and Discord logs of Lance Twiggs and Tyler Robinson that were posted on Substack recently. I haven't, not those specifically. I have watched a lot of contributions of Lance Twiggs to Reddit, but I have not seen those most recent ones. I will have a look at it tonight. Sean B says, Papa, quantitative easing is short-term inflation in exchange for long-term deflation, which is why you need larger and larger amounts of debt created to keep it inflated as time goes on. How will it end? Well, I think that everyone knows, we've been discussing this many times before. Inflation is basically a tax on what you already have. So it's a tax on your money. And yeah, where will it lead? The growth of the state, the counter response of the crypto world and Bitcoin, and the rise of Bitcoin price, and ultimately the meaninglessness and zombification of the regular economy. Because you can't have such money flows into the world and continue the improvement of corporation that can happen only in a fully free market. So in a fully free market, money is rare and corporations are incentivized at we need to be efficient. We need to have an efficient operation that makes more money than it loses. But when you throw money into the system in the form of inflation, it opens up all sorts of bad incentives for corporations. Corporations barely have to be financially viable. They can just emit new stock, get the money flows from inflation into that stock, and they have basically infinite budget. So that means to companies that we don't even need, that exist just to say they're doing something. It's like, consider the burger theory of McDonald's versus what's presented in the movie The Founder. So the movie The Founder is kind of a deep movie, and I would recommend people rewatch it. It's about the history of McDonald's. And the question that the movie raises is McDonald's even selling burgers? Is McDonald's even selling burgers? Because the way McDonald's grew was basically due to inflationary pressure on real estate commercial locations. So what a McDo is really is not so much a burger shop. It's a shop that makes you think that they're selling burgers, but in fact they're selling you the building of the McDo. Because much of the profits of McDo over 40 years is the growth of value of commercial real estate. So they start with a little building. They have their own lawyers and contacts to license them to get the permits in all localities. And they're basically making that building have more value because they maintain it and they operate a burger shop in it to prove to everyone this is a valid commercial point. You could have a burger shop here too if you wanted. So a lot of the valuation of McDo is actually it's a mortgage company. That is what the Jewish guy in The Founder, when he sees all these white people talking about burgers, and he goes to The Founder and he says, "Sir, I want you to understand something. You're not even selling burgers. You're selling real estate." And this is kind of a aha moment of the movie where the guy realizes, wow, so ultimately it's all about controlling buildings and then having their value up, because anyways, everything gains in value. And there's kind of, you can think of the stock market, the whole of the stock market, as being an enterprise in deception. That's selling the idea to people, oh, we're doing something. Something that will have value later. Something that people desire and need. Something that will always be so fundamental to society, it can't possibly go wrong. And they're not even making money, like Amazon. Amazon is one example where they're not making money still in what they sell. They just want to be there and occupy the space. Because ultimately, buying of stocks and the inflation of stocks will be correlated to how much importance and space do you control in civilization. So Amazon's game is not we're making 3 cents on each book we sell. They actually don't even care about making money on the books. That's why they keep doing these specials about my book. And they keep paying me the whole price as an author. That's because they care so little about making the money. They care about occupying the space. And that's what McDo did. They occupied the real estate commercial space. So now there's McDo's everywhere. And the price, the value of these buildings has been the major part of the growth of the McDonald's Corporation. The main reason McDo is worth more today, infinitely more than in the 60s. All of this to say, much of the stock market is not the building of an actual business with positive cash flow. Much of it is a way to drain the inflationary energy of the fake money that makes it into the system. Sean B. says, what would be the point where things stop working in a system like this? Will it slowly collapse or will we get a sudden collapse? Well, what I see happening is that the innovation that will call out the bullshit on all this is Bitcoin. So I believe that basically the economy will get shrunk, but to the point where people will suffer. There will be economic crises, and Bitcoin eventually will be the only survivor. And of course, there will be businesses out there occupying operational roles, still being viable. But I think that the whole scam of we are the burger sellers and we own all of these buildings across the nation and we sell burgers. This whole scam will eventually disappear and you're going to have much less. The stock market will be much less interesting. There will be much less ways to profit on it. And eventually inflation itself will have to. The governments will have to self-discipline because Bitcoin is going to make it very hard for them to. They will impoverish the nation every time they print money. And it's going to be a whole fiction, the whole normie economy. That's my view of how it will happen. Anyways, I'm done for today. I have in 1 hour, 20 minutes, I have an appearance on Night Nation Live. I think it's a small podcast and they want to talk about the revolutionary phenotype. So follow my social media if you want the links to this. It's going to be in 1 hour 20. And I think it's going to be an interview about the revolutionary phenotype or other subjects. Rodita Sid says, I was just explaining to my girlfriend, Tesla is a good stock to invest, but if Elon died tomorrow, it would plummet. There would still be cars and factories, but Elon is like a multiplier of perceived worth. Absolutely. And everything down the line, everything is about perceived worth. A friend of Gandalf has sent a super chat. Let's have a look.
Now that you're monetized on YouTube, do you have a mechanism for not displaying a super chat if it breaks YouTube rules? Checking as I don't want a message of mine to get you banned.
Well, I always have a mechanism in the sense that there are certain words you can't use in these super chats. And I also see the super chat before I click on it to put it on screen. But don't try to mess with me. I'm going to have to ban you if you try this. Because sometimes I may not see a hot word or I may not think about it and I click on it. And so, yeah, don't mess with me, even if I do have some protections. against trolling. Much love. See you all in 1 hour, 20 minutes on Night Nation Live.